our little show called Blind Like Me. We're glad to have you with us today. We are there. See, already we have Jaws noise in the background. Patty is an inveterate computer user. She's always on, and she loves a computer, don't you?
Yes, I do.
You do love it. What is your last name? I've forgotten.
Woodworth.
What now?
I'm worth some wood. Woodworth.
Patty Woodworth. All right, like Fort Worth, only different, right?
There you go. Woof. Okay. Put in some wood in front of it.
Okay, Woodworth. Patty Woodworth. Well, welcome to Blind Like Me, and you're in where? Where are you?
I'm in Pekin, Illinois, which is up by Peoria, for people that don't know. I'm about like 20 miles, 30 miles from south of Peoria, Illinois.
And how far from the real big city in Illinois, that Chicagoland?
Chicago, about 3 hours.
About 3 hours north of Chicago?
North, yeah.
So it gets really, really cold up there where you are, doesn't it?
Not as bad as Chicago. Chicago's a windy city.
Do you have snow in April? Do you have snow today?
No, it's been at 65 today here.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Patty Woodworth. All right. I never knew your last name. All right, what is your level of vision now? You're almost totally blind now, aren't you?
Well, what I have is called Leber's anerosis. Retinitis pigmentosa. I'm down to light and dark. That's all. I can't see details, but I'm just down to light and dark.
But you can go in a room and you can tell if the light's on, and you can tell if that's about it. I guess that's more than I can do. So I don't have any vision. Now, at one time, you had pretty good vision. Just give us kind of a history. You were born with fairly good vision, weren't you?
Correct. I was born in Roswell, New Mexico, back in the 59, and they didn't, I'm guessing they didn't know much about RP back then. And when I was about 2 years old, I was running into walls and stuff, and that's when my parents found out that I have it. I have an older sister, an older brother, and 4 younger brothers, and none of them have, you know, their eyesight's fine. You know, I was brought up in, quote, normal. Well, yeah, I wore glasses, but I was
normal. Normal household. You were allowed to.
No, I was treated normal, just like with the rest of the kids. I did everything that they did. I was a very, very I was a tomboy. I mean, I climbed trees, I wrestled, I played tackle football, I beat up my brothers, I took his bike because he had a cool bike. Boys had cool bikes back in the 70s. They had better bikes than those sissy girls.
And but you did all this stuff with about half the vision that all the other kids had.
Yeah, I mean, when I was younger, I had, you know, better vision that I could ride a bike.
Yeah.
And go places, and, I mean, I went all over town. You know, I walked all over this town and rode my bike all over town on the roads.
Yeah, so how old were you when they, did you stay in New Mexico as a child?
No, honestly, we lived there like 6 years. Me and my brother, that's 2 years younger than I am, was born in Roswell.
Uh-huh.
And then we moved back up here to Pekin, Illinois, and then that's where I've been ever since.
That's where you've been ever since.
Yeah.
That's where you met your two husbands, and that's where you married, and...
Well, we'll
get to that later. You were telling me Saturday we were talking on Patty and I talking. We're both Skype users. She's a Skype person, and so am I. And so we were chatting on Skype Saturday, and you were telling me about your adventures with the railroad trains, tracks where you lived.
We lived in the housing here, and then we have a road, and then we have there was 5 railroad tracks.
Uh-huh.
Right beside each other. And on the other side of the tracks was the park and then the swimming pool, the public swimming pool. And I loved going to the pool all the time. And they parked the trains there. And they were, I'm telling you, they was like a mile-long train. So I always, you know, I got to the train, and I seen it was so long. I go, I'm not going to walk around it. I listened. I didn't hear nothing. So I either went in between the cars and went under the, where they're connected.
Yeah.
I went under them. Or I got brave enough and I just climbed up the steps and went on top of it. And if there was 2 sets of trains, I jumped from train to train. Because they're not that far. They wasn't that far apart.
No, they wouldn't be far apart. But you could see enough to see the other train you were jumping into.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Well, that's good. You wouldn't want to do that if you couldn't see.
Oh, no. But then I went swimming and I loved the diving port. I love the diving board a lot. The high dive, oh, that was so much fun.
Really?
And what I did was see, me and my friend Janie, I mean, we was just running. We ran all over the housing. I held on her arm at night, and we just boogied all over. We watched the TV and them diving off cliffs and doing all the acrobats off the cliffs.
Yeah.
So we go, oh, we can do that. So we went to the swimming pool and tried them. You know, I can do a one-and-a-half forward flip, back flip. They call it a gainer. Gainer is where you go off the board frontwards and you flip backwards.
Oh, okay.
Dives, all kinds of dives and twists, stuff like that. Oh, yes. I love that. And here's the crazy story I was going to tell you, but you told me no.
Okay, go ahead. Tell me.
Down, we went down toward Green Valley and across the bridge, and then right across the bridge, right next to the bridge, there's the Rebel Track Bridge with the stuff on top.
Uh-huh.
And we climbed. Oh, someone just signed in. We climbed up on the railroad tracks, and we dived into the river.
Good heavens!
Okay.
Yeah.
And that railroad bridge was very high up off the water, and I did a 1.5 forward flip, and we had a big thick rope underneath the train tracks, and then we got up on the concrete piling,
uh-huh,
and swung out and dropped into the water. Oh yes, I did crazy things.
That sort of stuff would kill you now if you tried it.
Oh, now that I look back about it, you know, the river I was talking about, everything floats down that river, and you never know how deep it is or what's down that, no, Mackinac River.
You don't?
I would probably whip my kids if they did half the things I did.
Well, yeah, but your mother was busy raising other kids, and she didn't know what you were doing.
We had seven altogether. And we're all about, like, 2 years apart.
Yeah.
And,
so there was always a baby, wasn't there?
There was always a baby. I got a baby brother. He's 20 years younger than I am. And but everybody had good eyesight. No one in my family has RP.
Except you.
Except me.
Yeah.
And so it was crazy things. And then all my boyfriends, I really never hung out with blind people. I went to regular school.
Wait a minute. Let's just get you in school first. You were back in Pekin, Illinois then.
Right.
And you went to a regular public school just like all the other kids, right?
Exactly. And I think in grade school, I went to a special ed, you know, to the classroom for them to read, like when I had tests. They helped me on the tests. And then I went back to the regular class and did everything. You know, I could still see the blackboard, but I had to be in the front of the room. I remember that. And but, you know, other than that, I know I did everything else that they did.
So they did not try to teach you Braille or any of that sort of stuff?
No, because I could read. I had enough vision to read regular print all the way up to high school. So.
And in high school, it began to fade some?
It started blurring. I could read maybe a paragraph, and then my eyes got—I couldn't read anymore.
Did you date in high school? Did you go out with boys in high school?
Not through the high school, but I dated, and all of them were sighted.
Well, yeah, because there were no other blind kids around.
No, there was no other blind kids around, so that and then I dated, and you know, I was in high school, and then my first husband went to the Army, and then when he came back from the Army in 78, we got back together and we got married like a month or so after I got out of high school.
Well, let's don't get you out of high school first.
Okay.
Did you do any cheerleading in high school?
No, I didn't do anything. I went out for the diving team, and I did that for a while, but Mom had to go clear to Peoria to pick me up every night,
mm-hmm,
and Mom couldn't do that, so I had to drop out. So I didn't do no extra. No, I didn't. I just did regular school.
You just did high school.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you were back in Pekin, Illinois.
Correct.
Which is a fairly small town, I would figure. Not too many, maybe
right.
5,000 people. What do you think?
No, I would say we probably got about 35,000.
Oh, 35,000. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So you went to high school. You do all right. You do pretty good grades or not?
Oh yeah, I had good grades. I mean, I had regular classes, and then when it come to, like I said, when it come to test or for long reading, I had to go. I went to my special ed teacher, and she did all the reading for me. And then typing. I took typing.
Uh-huh.
I could read large print. And then we had to, believe it or not, we had back then, back in the 70s, we had manual typewriters.
Manual, we did when I was in school. I learned to type on an old manual Underwood typewriter.
Yeah. But, hey, your fingers got really strong.
Well, you had to really hit those keys. You couldn't just fool around like you can now with these keyboards we have.
Oh, yeah, that just little touch.
A little touch, and you do. Okay, so high school, so a month out of high school, you're married. You got married.
I got married and
got pregnant, I bet.
No, I didn't. I got pregnant. See, I got married in 78. And then we moved up to the Quad Cities, and then in 81 I got pregnant.
What is the Quad Cities?
Quad Cities is Rock Island, East Moline, and Davenport, Iowa. That's what they call the Quad Cities.
They call it the Quad Cities. Quad Cities. Okay, so you moved up there, and what did your husband do for a living?
Everything and anything.
Everything and anything.
Yeah.
So not much of anything, right?
He did so many jobs, so I don't, you know, he was all over.
Yeah.
I had my daughter in 81, Regina, and then I had her for like 8 months, and then I got pregnant again, which I wasn't really ready for the second one because I wanted to get the other one walking in and out of diapers. But I got pregnant again.
Did you ever work? Did you ever have a job?
No. Well, in high school, I had a job at Burger King, but I just there for while I was in school. Vocational aid, I guess. That's the only job I had in high school.
So your job has been raising kids mainly, right?
Exactly. For I raised my kids. In 82, I had Jeremy. And then as they was, I could see them. Back then I had, I was like 21, 22.
Yeah.
And I could see them good enough. I raised them. I put bells on their shoes so I know exactly where they're at.
Put bells on their shoes.
You betcha, on their shoes.
So you could hear them. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. So then.
Yeah, that's a good trick.
I raised them. Well, I just had them. I lived in Moline until 83, and then me and Johnny separated, and I moved back to Pekin. That's where my mom and dad lived.
Uh-huh.
So and I needed to be by mom and dad because mom could take me places that I needed to go.
And so you brought the kids and moved back to where
I
you
had
are.
I had two little infants all by myself. I moved back to Pekin and house and raised the two kids. And then in May of 83, I met Jeff, my
husband. You never did go to work. You never did find a job.
Nope. I wasn't even interested in a job. My job was I was a domestic goddess.
You were domestic. You were. I thought Carla was the domestic goddess.
Oh, well, okay. No, that's what I call myself.
You were the domestic goddess long before she came around, weren't you?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. I don't know if she's younger or older than I am. So.
Carla is. Carla may be a few years younger than you.
I'm 47.
Yeah, Carla is. I would guess Carla's about 40, maybe a little more.
Okay.
Well, she's got a grown daughter, so she'd have to be at least 40, wouldn't she?
somewhere.
Yeah, you think she was. So you moved back to Pekin and you met another guy.
And I met Jeff. Well, see, I got it. My dad was in the CBs, and I loved CBs. Back in the 70s, the CB was just the hottest thing.
Oh, it was. It was wonderful.
Oh, you couldn't even get a word in edgewise. And then it got stupid, so I got there. But I met almost all my boyfriends through the CB. So I was talking to Jeff on the CB, and he wanted to meet me, so he came over to my house, and my babies were 10 months old and 2 years old. And so I got super long hair, so I took my hair down and dressed up, and he came driving up, and he saw me. I was skinny then. Once upon a time. But
you were skinny then. It must mean you're not now.
Well, I could lose like 40 pounds.
Okay.
But I'm still, I guess I wouldn't say fat.
But you were just a young girl, and you were just.
I was only 23 when I met Jeff, and he was 30. I was 23 and he was 32.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So he thought you looked pretty good and started dating you, huh?
Well, he talked me into trying to date me, and I go, it took a while, but, so I went out with him, and, we've been together now for 24 years.
Yeah.
And he took my two kids, and he raised my two as his own. And my two kids, they don't have hardly anything to do with Johnny. their father.
Their real father, yeah.
Yeah. Jeff is their dad. Anything goes wrong, these kids call him.
And well, that's good. A lot of men wouldn't do that, you know?
Oh, yeah. And if anything goes wrong with Gina's car, she calls Dad and say, Dad, you know, can you tell me? Because Jeff, he built dune buggies and mud drags and all that stuff.
And he still works at a car place, doesn't he?
He works at a car dealership.
Yeah.
And I'm glad he knows how to do all the stuff mechanically, because it's cheaper that way, you know.
Yeah, because you don't do mechanic stuff, huh?
No, I just listen. I play one on the radio.
Yeah. Well, your life has been actually pretty good, hasn't it? You never had to work, raise your kids? And
No. Well, after we got the kids raised, now Jeremy's in the Army. He went in the Army.
Jeremy's actually in Iraq right now, isn't he?
He's in Iraq right now. He's in a town called Taji.
Uh-huh.
T-A-J-I. Taji, Iraq.
And what does he do there?
Well, he right now he's working in the motor pool. He's working on the big tanks, the Paladins.
Uh-huh.
He works on them right now, because he was on the checkpoint, and I did not like that with all them IEDs going off, because that was just really weird.
So he got some mechanical ability maybe from Jeff, reckon?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so. You know, but I mean, he's learning that in the Army right now, so.
Yeah.
And then into this month, he's going to Germany, because he wants to go see Germany. And I'd rather him come home, but, you know, I said, that's okay, bud. Go see Germany while you can.
Well, he'll never have a chance to do it again.
Right.
Probably.
Yeah, and that's what I said. Okay.
You can't blame him for wanting to do that. I wouldn't, you know.
But see, too, as my kids were growing up, I still never hung around blind people. But in the last past 2 years, we have a place over here in Peoria called the Peoria Area Blind Center.
Uh-huh.
And I go there every other Wednesday, and we eat lunch, and we play bingo, and I know there's a whole bunch of blind people. And I'm learning all these techniques on how to be blind, I guess, you know, on how to fold your money, how to put rugs in front of doors and steps, you know, things like that. And I go, oh, that's cool. And JAWS, I have to tell you about JAWS.
All right.
And 2005, I wanted to JAWS because... I took computer lessons, and so I couldn't afford it because, you know, JAWS is like, you know,
$900, yeah, a lot of money.
I didn't have it. The Lions Club here in Pekin helped me. They paid part of it, and then I got a job at the Sight Center. What I do there is I take the light bill, and I change it into Braille, so I'm a Braille transcriber, I guess you call it.
Well, yeah.
That's my job. I've been working there for 3 years, and that's the longest job I ever had.
Now, you take people's light bills and transfer them into Braille. Someone bring in their light bill, and you transfer it for them?
Well, no, the light company sends it to us, and then I put it through the Duxbury, they call it. And then it goes to the embosser, and it Brails it out, and I just proofread it, make sure it says okay, and then we mail it off to the customer.
Okay, so certain customers have their light bills sent to you or sent to the center.
Right.
And
the light company sends it to us, the company, our company, and
you transcribe it into Braille. So you do have a job.
Yeah, now I have.
See there?
Before then I didn't have.
Do they pay you for this, or just a volunteer?
No, they pay me.
They pay you.
I get a little bit more than minimum wage.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't work that much.
So that gives you the money to buy little computer things.
Now I do that. When the Lions Club helped me pay part of it, where I work gave me a discount, and I got a grant through them, and then I only had to pay like $100 some odd, so I said, I can do that.
Yeah.
So out of that mine was over $1,000 because I paid for that SME. Two upgrades.
So pay for two upgrades, okay.
Yeah. So it cost a little over $1,000. But all that out of that, I only had to pay hundreds of my dollars.
Well, that's good. And you got JAWS.
I took computer lessons, and JAWS, I tell you, it has opened up so much for the people for the blind. I mean, talking to all these people on the blind like me, I just learned Skype and putting sounds to Skype and... And it's just interesting that we can just talk and get out, you know, instead of staying home. You know what I'm saying?
Well, we're able to learn things about being blind from other blind people, whereas before we couldn't. You know,
exactly.
We were isolated,
yes.
Basically. What is your sister that's with you? What is her name?
Her name is Kathy.
That keeps talking in the background. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing fine.
You know what's funny? My dad. What? My dad was a hillbilly.
He was.
This starts how my dad named us. It starts from the oldest. It goes Jimmy, Kathy, Patty, Tommy, Jerry, Gary, Terry.
Really?
So if mom got mad at one of us, you know, she had to run down the list.
Yeah. Well,
I don't rhyme. I don't know why.
You think those are kind of hillbilly names, huh?
I don't know. My dad, my
Kathy. Kathy's not a hillbilly name. That's kind of a, you know.
Didn't Dad name us all?
You're the only one that has
proper
names.
Yeah, my name is Patricia.
It is really Patricia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did Dad name all of us like that?
Pretty much.
I think Dad named us all.
All right. What else? You got any other funny stories to tell us before we go? We're up for funny stories, you know. We take all that you got.
All the funny stories.
All the funny stories.
My kids thought that was so funny.
All right.
When they got in trouble, they always just stood still because I couldn't find them.
They didn't run from you?
No, they didn't run from me. They just stood still, but they couldn't stop laughing. And
yeah.
They forget, mom can hear. Oh man, when I found them, they were in trouble. Then here's another funny story. Oh, I beat up on the kids. These two kids mistake one. I was at church and we Baptist loves food, so we had a potluck, and I asked these two teenagers, Zach and Ben, to go get me some fruit jello, and they said okay. So they came back and they brought my plate back, and I just had that feeling something was going fishy, and they just stood there, and so I put the spoon in my mouth, and it had coleslaw on it, and I hate coleslaw.
So they got you coleslaw instead of jello.
And I swallowed it. I put my plate down. I chased them. I got him. I got one, and I was knuckle-bumping him on the head.
It's not good to try to fool blind people like that. They shouldn't do that. That's not funny.
Well, the other one, I just saw him. He just got back. His name is Zach. He just got back from Iraq,
yeah.
And I saw him, and I said, Zach, I still owe you a beating, except he's got huge arms. He's in the Marines, so I don't think I'll beat you.
You don't think you'll be beating him up, huh?
No. No.
All right, well, we're going to go, and see, you didn't take that long. You took about 21 minutes is about all you did. 21 minutes with all your, you got 21 minutes worth of stories. And you and Kathy are going to Walmart, or you already been to Walmart?
We've already been to Walmart.
Oh,
we went to Walmart. We did our shopping already, and then we had to hurry up and get back here.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you on Skype, and I don't know when I'll run this, but I'll let you know before we do so you can go to ACB Radio and listen to it. How about that?
Oh, well, thank you very much.
All right, Patricia, we appreciate it. And I'll talk to you. Announcer person Phil Parr here with a little show called We Call Blind Like Me, and we call it that because that's its name. See, if we called it by any other name, it'd just stupid, wouldn't it? So we call it Blind Like Me. It's a beautiful Sunday in Texas. I don't know what day you'll be hearing this, but it's this is being recorded on the 6th of May. My first wife's birthday was yesterday, but I suppose you folks already knew that.
We're
it's kind of a silly day. Tornadoes in Kansas last night. Beautiful weather in Texas. Kelly Stanfield is with us via Skype. How are you?
Just fine, thank you.
Well, that's good to hear. Your cat's in your lap, and
my dog. Yeah, she is.
My dogs are barking at something. I hope it's not a guest. I guess they'll knock on the door if it is, and we'll just hit the pause button and stop. And you were
there. You go.
I think you said 28 years old.
Yes.
And you've been totally blind all your life. Have light perception.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have light perception? Light perception. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And totally blind all your life. And you live in a wonderful city I've never been to, but Leavenworth, Kansas.
Leavenworth, Kansas, surrounded by prisons and jails. I tell
you. Yeah, you hear about.
I got to try and be on my best behavior.
I guess you do. Did you hear about folks that talking about? Oh, I don't want to go to Leavenworth because, that would be a terrible thing. I will send you to Leavenworth. Well. Okay. Anyway, lots of prisons up there. I guess the prisons actually probably help the economy in Leavenworth, don't they? I mean, they have to.
I would think they do. I hadn't really thought about that much. They help our store. The military prison does because they're one of our, I would say, fairly main customers.
All right. Well, we'll talk about your store in a minute. That's where you work, is your store, right?
Mm-hmm.
My store. That's good to say.
Well,
all right. Where were you
that's
born?
That's the way I term it.
That's the way you term it.
That's,
okay.
That's not the actual name of it.
No, that's all right. We'll get into that in a few minutes in later life. What? Where were you born and raised? Tell us about your childhood.
Well, I was born in Kansas City, Missouri, and I grew up in Overland Park, Kansas, which is a suburb of Kansas City.
Okay.
And went to school. All of my schooling was in public school, and starting my sophomore year of high school, though, I started adding some classes at the School for the Blind.
And it is in Kansas City?
Kansas City, Kansas.
That's where the blind school is?
For Kansas, yes.
Kansas. They sent you to public school.
Because I was living in Overland Park, and it was decided that the Shawnee Mission School District could give me what I needed.
Yeah, and they can these days. Did they teach you as a baby girl? Did they teach you Braille?
I actually started learning Braille at a preschool in Kansas City, Missouri.
Oh, really?
And then continued it in the elementary school.
Are you a good Braille reader?
I would consider myself a good Braille reader.
You know,
yes.
I didn't start my watch. Can I do that? I can do that now, can I? Yeah, we've done about three. We'll say we've done 3 minutes, so we'll just add 3 minutes to whatever time. So have you actually read some books in Braille?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well,
and I'm going to try to get some books from WebBraille to take on a trip I'm going to take here in a few weeks and load them into my Braille note and read them that way while I'm traveling.
So that would make you a pretty good Braille reader. If you can read a book in Braille, you're a pretty good Braille reader. So were they able to see, you were 28 years old, so you were born in, I can't do the math, 79. So did they have Braille books for you as a child in public school?
Yes, and I'm sorry, my math is off. I'm 27. I'll be 28 in August.
Oh, you'll be 28 in August. You're 26. You were born in 78.
No, I was born in 79.
In 79. Well, we'll be
28 in August.
We can have this straight by the end of the show, probably. get it all straight.
That we could.
I told you last night, you have a really nice laugh. I like for people to laugh, and you have a good laugh.
Well, thanks.
And so you had Braille books as a child in kindergarten all through your school. You had Braille books.
Yes, especially for math. Starting in seventh grade, I started getting some books on tape from, like, Recordings for the Blind and
Dyslexic.
Yeah.
Now,
and
it
wasn't quite the same to me.
Why did they decide to give you books on tape instead of Braille?
Because that was the way the textbook was available.
Well, that's good. That's
a good reason.
That's an excellent. That's the best reason, as far as I'm concerned. That's the way the textbook was available, so they got it for you. But you don't like learning off tape.
I don't know. I've always been one that prefers to read for myself. Although it seems odd, though, but now I don't mind reading stuff on my computer. Yeah. But I'm gonna do some correcting of some things, and I'm gonna load them into my Braille note and read it on the Braille display.
Oh, okay.
To,
so you are a Braille reader,
aren't
you?
Catch mistakes that way, yes.
You are an avid Braille reader. Well, that's good. Most successful blind people are Braille readers. Did you know that?
No.
Well, that's true. Most successful blind people, even the successful ones I've interviewed, are Braille readers. I'm not. So I know what happened to me. I fell off the wagon or something. But, and so, did you okay in school, grade-wise?
The reasons I didn't were really just because I didn't always choose to, and I'll admit to it.
You didn't give school your best effort, right?
Not all the time, no.
Not all the time. Why? Do you know? You have any idea why?
Not really.
Not really. Well, if these questions are too tough now, I thought I sent you a list of the questions I was going to ask. Here's the thing. So, but you didn't try always in school. What about social life in school? Did you have any or none or some or what? You have girlfriends, boyfriends, lots of friends, no friends?
I had some girlfriends in elementary school. In fact, some of them decided that they wanted to learn Braille. So the vision department brought over some extra Braille writers in my fourth and fifth grade years, and I'd spent third, fourth, and fifth, and I'd spend part of recess a couple of years teaching them, and then, in fact, I got in trouble for it one year. The teacher says, well, you'll have to tell those girls no, and you have to come outside and do your on the wall for having not turned in your work.
Time on the wall? What was that?
Well, that was... You stood against the wall and watched everyone else do their stuff at recess if you hadn't turned in your work. You know,
of course, if you're blind, you couldn't watch, so it pretty well took care of that.
You still heard what was going on.
Oh, okay.
You know, same concept, I guess.
You could stand there and hear the other kids playing and having fun, and you couldn't. Well, you know, they take enough of childhood away from blind children, they ought not to do that to you. Because blind children are robbed of a lot of childhood. I mean, they can't play baseball. Yeah. They can't run and play hide and seek. There's a lot of things they can't do. But that's another story. So,
that's a whole other ballgame.
So when you got in high school, what did you do in high school? Did you play in the band, sing in the chorus, sing in the choir?
Well, I had started playing violin in the school orchestra when I was 10 years old. Uh-huh. And I continued that through my sophomore year.
And through your sophomore year. You quit for some reason. Why?
With going to the two schools, getting to the concerts and everything just wasn't working out as well as I would have liked for it to, and I wasn't getting the pieces memorized as well as I wanted to.
So,
and I didn't feel that I was doing a good enough job, so you know, to do as good a job as I would have liked to. So I decided that at that point, I'd done it for a few years, and I had enjoyed it, and I was starting to not enjoy it as much. Another reason.
That's a good reason. All right, did you date in high school at all?
Well, I met through another vision-impaired friend of mine in my first senior year, a gentleman who was an adult and a few years older than I, and... We did, but then we decided a few months later it wasn't going to work.
Ah, the older man. The older man. They're always around, aren't they? But, so you decided, but you didn't date boys your age. You didn't go out with them. We've talked to lots of blind girls that went to high school. Boys, 16, 15, 14, 17-year-old boys, just don't know how to deal with a blind girl. They can't deal with themselves, much less a blind girl. Or a blind guy, for that matter. I mean, it's awfully hard. High school is. That's why we discuss endlessly here whether you'd be better off going to blind school or not. So, but in your high school years, later in high school years, you started taking some courses at the blind school?
Yes, I would. I took classes at both my public high school and the school for the blind, both. I would, and I stayed in the dorm to help, with, like, some daily living skills that I wasn't getting at home, because my mom was, and she admitted it, was pretty overprotective. Didn't want a blind kid getting hurt and stuff like that, and so she didn't let me do a whole lot. Now, she'd let me go out with my teacher, the vision impaired, and do just about anything. But if mom was around, meh.
Mom wanted to do it for you rather than teach you how to do it.
Bingo.
Wrong.
You got it.
Wrong. Absolutely the wrong. The wrong, 160-degree wrong approach. for raising a blind child. And
I'm still trying to make up for some of that.
You know that now, but Mom didn't know any better.
Mom didn't realize it then.
She wanted to protect you and help you and not realizing that someday she'd be gone, and she died in
97, September of 97. And, yeah, Dad did some stuff here and there, but...
Yeah, parents just don't realize that someday that blind child is going to be out in the world without them, and if they don't learn to do things, then they're going to be in, you might say, as we say in Texas, a heap of trouble.
There you go.
And so some living skills and things that you did, like cooking and things like that, you didn't get at home, so you went to the blind school to get them.
To attempt to get them and stuff, yeah. And I was able to participate in some more activities and stuff there. I wish we'd have done a little more cooking in the dorm just for the sake of doing some, but we didn't then anyway. Who knows? They may have changed some stuff now, for all I know. But I enjoyed it because I enjoyed being around the other blind students there more than I did the kids at the public school.
Well, yeah.
It's the case of, hey, others like me, this is a cool thing. I like this. And so I enjoyed it. I felt like I had more friends there than I did at the public school.
Well, it would be natural. Do you wish sometimes maybe you'd gone full-time through the blind school, if they'd sent you full-time? Because you were living right here in Kansas City. You could have been a weekend student or a, you know.
Yeah, I could have gone back and forth and just been a day student.
That's
just
right.
As well. But... Part of me yes, and part of me no.
Yeah, well,
I enjoyed the chance to be around others from where I lived, and
yeah.
So that was kind of good.
Well, of course, blind schools sometimes aren't the best at they. I went to school long, long before you did, but they didn't teach us very many living skills, like, you know, how to pay your rent or how to, you know, they taught us how to make brooms, which I've never been able to make one, but they tried. You know, I didn't see that as an occupation. There are blind people who make a living making brooms, not knocking it, but anyway, they weren't so big on living skills. In fact, they wouldn't let the boys take home ec at all. Would be, you know, I taught myself to cook. Anyway, so your high school is...
Everyone took it when I went there.
Oh, is that right? Boys and girls.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way it should be. All right.
I think so, too.
High school, you graduated high school, you're about to graduate high school. What did you think you could do with your life? Did you have any idea?
Well, I had enjoyed helping to teach other students here and there the adaptive technologies.
Uh-huh.
And I had really come to enjoy the teaching of that, trying to find a way to help, at the time, the Braille and Speak, trying to find a way to help that make sense to others.
Yeah,
baffled me, but it was an enjoyable baffling. It's okay, what's the next step in this here? How do I break this down enough? Because yeah. I did it automatically by that point. Okay, how do I simplify it?
Yep.
And so that was a fun challenge for me. And so I originally went down to Lions World Services for the Blind down in Arkansas. I graduated in the spring of 99, and then I went down a few months later in July.
Uh-huh.
And originally went down for a course in medical transcription, which I don't think they even have anymore, but I don't hold me to that. From what I understand, they don't. But then I heard about a course down there from the teacher of it for an assistive technology course.
Uh-huh.
And she thought that I would be a very good candidate for it. And so she had me come down and do the test and everything and told me about it some. And I said, hey, this works. This combines my enjoyment of technology,
yeah.
of the blindness technology, and the how do you put stuff together to make sense light bulbishness of teaching
yeah.
into one. And I finished the course and then went back home to the Kansas City area. And looking back, I say, Kelly, there were too many of you trying to do the same thing at once.
Oh, well.
There was a bunch of other blind folks in KC already trying to do it.
But we'll never
learn from your mistakes.
We'll never have another. We'll never have enough access technology teachers. We'll never have enough of those. I mean, there can't be too many of those. We all all need to learn, and maybe Kansas City wasn't where you needed to be. But you weren't able to find a job. That always comes. When they teach you something, then you got to go find a job doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So you weren't able to find a job in the field you chose.
No, in it.
All right, so you did what?
Well, a friend of mine told me about that he had been hearing while he'd been on hold at the Pizza Hut call center that they were looking for full and part-time folks to take orders.
Uh-huh.
So I went. I had my brother take me in, and we filled out the application and everything, and I went and applied and got it. Now, there were already two blind ladies working at the job, so I had to take an evening to late night shift because they worked until like 6 in the evening.
Uh-huh.
So I had to wait and go in later after at least one of them had left. Well, they both left at the same time at that point.
What's wrong with that?
Not a thing in my book. In fact, I was kind of a night owlish anyway.
Yeah. Well, most pizzas are ordered at night anyway. What to do? You know, why not? Anyway, so you got the job.
Yep. So I got the job.
Yep.
All right, come here again.
And what?
And, in fact, I enjoyed it. I worked there for about a year. I got my own apartment in March of 2000, something like that, estimating right.
Anyway, you got the job and got your own apartment, and you worked there about a year.
Got my own apartment, and my dad was there a bunch. For a while, he was there helping me get it set up and everything, but then he just kept coming around. And eventually, another blind friend of mine told me about a job with the Kansas City, Missouri School District, working with the vision resource room at the elementary school. Now, what they do is they combine all their vision impaired students. They take them all to the same school.
Yeah.
Instead of what Shawnee Mission did, was they put you into the school that you lived in the area of.
And they sent the teacher around to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, which makes more sense to me. Anyway.
I can see good and bad to both.
So you quit the pizza job?
Well, I made sure I had the job with the school district first.
Uh-huh.
And then I quit the Pizza Hut call center job.
Okay.
Because I didn't want to quit and then be kind of jobless again.
No, though. But so how did this school job work out?
Well, it went fine for about a year and a half, and then I was trying to show a student. I had told a student several times verbally about how when you're going to speak to somebody, you need to turn your head towards that person.
You need to look at them.
And make an attempt to look at them.
Yes.
Well, a student, a fellow classmate of his who was on my right, had asked him something, and I could tell by his voice that he had done nothing of the sort. Made no attempt to look at this classmate of his.
Uh-huh.
And I told him, I said, I've told you a few times that you need to do this.
Yeah.
And I reached up and I showed him, and they all said, I've left marks. So they let me go after a little while, and I couldn't be in the classroom and everything starting the next day. And they officially kicked me out.
So you, according to them, you manhandled a man, or gosh, how could you manhandle anybody? Anyway, you handled, you put your hands on this child, and they didn't like that.
Apparently, I put them on him a little too hard, kind of thing. I don't know.
I guess you did.
Sounds like it.
Do you have long fingernails? What did you do? Scratch him? No.
I didn't think I had, but they said it left a red mark.
A red mark, and his mother didn't like that.
Actually, get this.
What?
I ran into his parents later.
Uh huh.
At something I was volunteering for.
Uh huh.
And they said they didn't blame me one bit.
For making him do what he did.
Yeah, they said they had understood what I was trying to do.
Uh-huh. And
I commented to the father in December of 2004 when I happened to run into him when he came to pick him up from an activity, and I said, well, I found another job now, and I told him what I was doing. He says, it's not what you want to do, though, is it? I said, to be honest, not really. But I'll do it.
And okay, so they let you go.
They let me go.
They let you go.
And winter of 2003.
All right. And so you decided then to move to where you are now?
Well, almost.
Yep. You had another job.
Not quite. I tried to.
Okay.
I tried to go to Arkansas again for an IRS training course.
Uh-huh.
Well, the center has to give recommendations as to whether they think a person would be a good candidate or not for the program, you know, for the class after an evaluation.
Uh-huh.
Well, they didn't think I'd make a good person for it.
Oh, well.
So I came on back home, and exactly 2 weeks after I came home...
Your father died.
No, you're a little too fast there.
I'm a little too fast. Okay.
Yeah. Exactly 2 weeks after I came home, my brother found him on the floor of their apartment having had a massive stroke.
Really?
Yes. Hmm. This was mid-July of 2003.
Yeah. And I'm sorry,
2003.
And you had just faced two rejections. You'd gotten fired from a job and they wouldn't take you at Arkansas. It's rejection.
It was a crazy year.
Well, it's called a character building. Kelly, that's what it's called, is character building. If you know, we all have been rejected by a lover or a job or some, we've all faced rejection in our lives, some more than others. And I won't name any of the some persons who have, but you know who you are out there. Raise your hands. Anyway, rejection at 21 years old, however old you were. Anyway, your father had a stroke, and so you didn't have a job, and I guess you were living at home.
I was living in Kansas City, Missouri with a roommate who was also blind.
All right.
And she and I, we had things going fairly well, okay. And I tried to be as much with my father as I could, just, well, because I was the only one of us kids that really chose to.
Well, that's what you should have done.
Yeah. I thought so, too.
Yeah. So, anyway, you did what? He lived another couple of years, right?
Yes. Yes.
And you were still living. You were living there in an apartment.
In a duplex with my friend and another lady who had previously been my rehab counselor, emailed me in August of 2004, saying that she had heard that the Envision Express store at Fort Leavenworth was looking for a cashier.
All right. So
and gave me what info she had about it. A few days later, I was on my way up here for an interview.
Uh-huh.
Got the job all in one.
All right.
And I was moved up here by 10th of September of 2004.
Okay. Now you called it your store. What is this actually? What is it really?
It's called Envision Express, and we sell products that are made by people who are blind and or may have other physical impairments or handicaps.
All right.
And those products are largely grouped under the JBOD Skillcraft line of products.
You're not the people that make the ID Mate.
We use the ID Mate.
You don't make it.
No, wrong Envision.
And there's it's made by Envision, though, right? Yes, it is.
That's called Envision America.
Wow.
We are just Envision.
Just Envision. Okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Well, there's Envision itself. Envision also has a manufacturing area, has some manufacturing plants.
Sure.
Three throughout Kansas that make some plastic bags. A variety of trash bags and a few different sizes of what they call seal closure bags, which I'll tend to term to folks as Ziploc bags to get across the idea to them of what kind of bags they are.
Yeah. All right, so you sell things in this store.
We sell things, and I help restock the store periodically, and I will show customers to where the product is that they're looking for or try to help them find something that would get done what they're trying to do.
Uh-huh.
Like they might say to me, okay, do you guys have document protectors? Yes, we do. Come on. And I'll pop out from behind the counter and take them right to it.
Because you have a good grasp of the layout of the store. You know where everything is there, right?
Peggy went through, she's my boss, uh-huh. went through within my first month or so there, and we wrote down pretty well where everything was in the store. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been some changes since then, and I haven't always kept my list up to date, but I've kept it up to date in my head where I need it up to date.
Yeah, where you need it up to date. And so,
where I need it the most.
And sometimes you are the only person in the store?
Once in a while, yes.
But not too often. Most times there's someone else there?
Most times there's at least one other sighted person in the building, yes.
Okay, what sort of things do you sell? You don't only sell things for blind people. You sell other things for other handicaps.
Well, our products are made by the people with the handicaps.
Okay.
And we have everything from pins to trash bags and the seal closure bags to Post-its and tapes and a whole variety of tapes, including your masking tape and some duct tape and some good variety like that. And batteries, we have a whole end cap that's pretty well nothing but batteries. Let's see, calculators, toners.
Toners as in
I'm
for...
I'm sitting here running through a mental map of the store in my head.
Toners as in for copiers.
As in for copiers and printers, yes.
Okay. You said you make some products there? They're
Not actually at the store. We don't actually make products at the Envision Express stores, no.
Okay.
We sell the products that others make.
Okay. But are you affiliated with the place where they make them, or is this just a store by itself?
We are another... I'd like to term it as another branch of the company Envision, and Envision makes the trash bags and seal closure bags, and we have a rehab department in Wichita, which is where the company headquarters are, and they have the largest eye clinic in the state of Kansas, Envision does, down there in Wichita, and we have 16 or 17 base supply centers throughout the West and Midwest, Envision Express.
Okay.
Envision Express is the base supply center, so to say, branch of Envision.
Okay, so there are 16 or 17 of these stores, just like where you work, throughout Kansas?
No, throughout...
The Midwest.
Throughout the West and Midwest.
That would mean Minnesota.
There's three in Kansas.
Minnesota, North Dakota, and all those states that nobody's ever been to.
We have two in North Dakota, Washington, Wyoming. I think Colorado has three. Nebraska has one. Three in Kansas. One in California. One in Missouri. One in Tennessee. I'm sure I've missed something somewhere.
Do you happen to know?
I wasn't keeping up with my math.
Do you happen to know if this is a 501c3? Is this a nonprofit, or do you know?
We're nonprofit. Yes.
It is nonprofit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they sell these things, and how many people work at this store? Just you and what's her name? Judy? Was that her name?
Peggy.
Oh.
Peggy's the manager.
Okay.
And then we have our assistant manager, and two drivers, and myself.
What are the drivers?
We have five altogether.
What do the drivers do?
They deliver the products that people have ordered from our internet website.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
They'll bring them to your house.
We generally sell to the
walk-in people.
We sell in store, and we also sell to. Why am I drawing a blank right now? I hate this.
What? We sell to the clock is running.
Armed forces. That's what I was looking for. Like the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and
Okay. Yeah, the government is probably
reserves and the government.
Yeah.
They're the main purchasers of the JWAD Skillcraft products. Is the governmental.
And you have these drivers that take products to them. That if they make a big order, they'll take it to them, right?
They'll take it to them, even if they come in the store and purchase a good amount of stuff that, say, maybe, oops, their car won't hold it all. So they'll load it on the truck and take it to them. Or if it's an internet order, some of that will come from a third source. And once all that order's in, then they'll deliver that. Plus, what, if anything, has had to come off our store shelves. Or
how do you get back and forth to work?
Well, with this being a smaller town, that's a very good question. Thanks for asking. Peggy volunteered when I moved up here to be my ride to and from work.
So she picks you up.
She picks me up. She comes to the opposite end of town and picks me up.
Nothing wrong with that.
No.
Nothing wrong with that.
I volunteered to pay her some each month for transportation. She said she wasn't even going to ask, but I volunteered to.
Well,
I didn't think that was fair to her.
I think it's good that she does that, and so you have a little better relationship with her. You get to know her a little better, and she picks you up, and she brings you home. There's nothing wrong with taking advantage of something when it's offered. You could be a hard head and ride the bus, but why?
Why? Because there is no bus.
Well, I'm sure there is some public transportation of some sort. You could fool around and probably do that. But if she's offered, in fact, I used to insist, if you want me to do mornings, buddy, you got to pick me up because I ain't going to ride. That's the way it is. So she picks you up, and at what, about 7:30 in the morning, you go work there all day, have a little lunch, come home at 5:30 in the evening. And
she picks me up about 6:15, 6:20.
Really?
We're to the store by 7 or a little before, and then we're off at 4 o'clock. I technically don't start till 7:30, but because she's my transportation, I'm there by 7.
Oh, yeah.
And we're done at 4, and then come on home usually by about 4:30 or a little bit.
And you live by yourself?
Yes, I do.
In an apartment?
Mm-hmm.
With a washer dryer?
Yeah, they offered to let me have one here in the apartment. Management did.
That is Kelly Stanfield, who seems to be living a life large. One thing I forgot to mention last week that we'll drop in now. We're still looking for someone to do On the Blind Side, a little feature that we like to run here. It's you can get it very easily off this off a list that I happen to be on that gives you probably 300 articles a month about blind persons. And all we want to do is condense those and put them in a little 90-second form. Anyway, if you're interested, you're a radio person, you want to be on the air, that would be a good way to do it. I can't believe out of all the blind people that love radio that we can't find someone who will do On the Blind Side. Anyway, let me know. 936-634-9500. My number, phil@philpar.net or philpar@consolidated.net. Either one will do. Thanks for listening. We'll do you next week on Blind Like Me. Bye-bye.